I want to kind of point us to the future. I really want to kind of talk about what's next for us. And I'm glad that today we're all together. We've got Mobile with us. We've got Foley. We've got Honduras. We've got everybody watching online. We've got the Correctional Center campuses. Everybody's here. Our entire church family is here. And what I want to do is I want to look forward. I want to talk about what's next. Where's God taking us? And in order to do that, I need to kind of back up a little bit. And I need to kind of refresh your memory on what we did back in the early part of the spring. We went through a series called The Way of a Disciple, where we talked about what does it mean to be a disciple? Like, what does that actually mean? And so I want to kind of refresh your memory on that just a touch, and then that'll serve as kind of a springboard to get us in to really what I want to dig into today. If you remember back in the very beginning of the Gospels, in John 1, we see the invitation of Jesus. And it's this, and you can read this, see this all through the Gospels, but at the very beginning, it's clear. Jesus says, come and you will see. He's inviting everyone into this life of ultimately following him. Like, we see this in the fact that Jesus is inviting fishermen. He's also inviting tax collectors. He's inviting demonized prostitutes, and he's also inviting a respected priest. He's inviting everyone into this life of following him. However, for Jesus, it's not just come and see. It's not just this kind of open-ended, feel-good experience of an invitation. He's got an expectation. He's got a goal. Like, there is something that he is trying to get a disciple to. And one really clear verse where Jesus paints this picture is in Luke 6. He says this, he told them this parable, can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a pit? He says, the student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. This word here, student, is the word that we've spent so much time talking about, the word disciple. It's the same exact word. Another word that we could use, or we could think maybe in our a little bit more modern language, would be an apprentice. Like an apprentice of someone who learns from a master, who takes on a trade or a life. This is literally what Jesus is talking about, is that the goal here is that the student, the disciple, becomes like the teacher. It's this rabbi type culture where there are students, disciples, apprentices following a rabbi with the goal of becoming like their rabbi. Right, taking on the lifestyle, not just understanding the teachings and the information and the words and those things. No, it's actually living it out. It's becoming like them. And so we've defined what a disciple is by saying it this way. A disciple is one who finds, who follows, and becomes like Jesus. As simple as we could possibly make it. Now we've spent some time over the spring really trying to create a division, a separation between this biblical New Testament idea of what a disciple is versus really our cultural idea of what a Christian is. That those two things are drastically different. That in our culture, to be a Christian just simply means that you believe a certain amount of things to be true about Jesus, and that you do a certain amount of things that are kind of the bare minimum to kind of get you into the club. Right. Another way to say that is that in kind of the American version of Christianity, you kind of stop with find. Right. As long as I have found Jesus, then all is good and we're set and I'm now in the club and everything's okay. But in the kind of the thought and the lifestyle of a disciple is actually following and then becoming like. It's taking on the character, it's taking on the works, the things that Jesus did. It's his lifestyle, not just knowing the words and the information. But it's actually the lifestyle. So for Jesus, the end isn't come and see. That's the beginning. Okay? The end, the finish line, is something a whole lot more than just come and see. Right? There's nothing worse, and maybe you've experienced this to some degree, but there's nothing worse than kind of running a race. Whether that's in business, whether that's in life and marriage, this kind of, man, I'm on a track, I'm headed somewhere. There's nothing worse than getting to what you think is the finish line to realize that it's actually not the finish line at all. That there's been some sort of an expectation, a goal that was set, where the finish line is so much shorter than what it actually is. There's nothing more frustrating than that, than to know that you're missing the mark. And what I think is happening in the American church is that we're missing the mark. We're missing the finish line. We have moved the finish line where we think come and see is all that Jesus requires of us. That come and see is it. Hey, just show up, just be here, warm and fuzzy, experience, say yes, And that's it. But for Jesus, saying yes is so much more than that. It's actually becoming like him. So for Jesus, this would be the finish line. The finish line we find at the end of the Gospel of Matthew 28, the very last thing that Jesus says in all of the Gospels, he says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. This is the finish line for you and I as disciples of Jesus Christ. The finish line isn't come and see. The finish line is go and make. It's go and make disciples, right? There's nothing about this that is the great option. It's not the great suggestion. It is a command. And the actual command is make disciples. How do you make disciples? By going. Everywhere you go, you make disciples. How do you make disciples? By baptizing them. How do you make disciples? By teaching them to obey the ways of Jesus. That's how you make disciples. But the command is simple. It's just make disciples. And that's a command that was given to every single one of us. That command was not just for me as the pastor and the guy on the stage. That command was for you. It's what we used to call an all skate. Anybody remember that back in the day, right? You go down now, go down to the roller skate rink and it's all skate time, right? They're gonna play that Cyndi Lauper song. Everybody's gonna jump out there. We all gonna skate a little bit, okay? Well, y'all really like that one. That was good. Okay, but that's what the Great Commission is. That's what the great command is. That's what this is. It is an all skate. It is something that every single Christ follower, every single disciple of Jesus Christ is called to that. However, I think the American church is missing it. I think the American believer, Christ follower, disciple of Jesus is missing it. And what we're doing is we're aiming for a finish line that is very much shorter than what it's actually supposed to be. A couple of years ago, several years ago now, God really began to stir this in my heart and really begin to reveal. I mean, I've been a church guy, church kid, grew up in church my whole life. I know everything there is. I know the church thing. And several years ago, God just began to stir this in me that we're just missing something. The church is missing something. And honestly, I didn't fully know what it was. I didn't have everything spelled out yet, but I just kind of knew, man, something's just not quite right. What is it? And then several years ago, just before COVID, I was with a group of pastors, pastors that lead churches about our size, so good-sized churches. And we were learning from a guy that led a church five or six times our size, massive church, what we now call giga churches. That's an actual term, giga churches. And we're learning from this guy just how to lead a big church, how to lead, you know, I'm new to this whole thing. Like, how do I do this? And what does it look like? And we're asking this guy, we're in his living room, we're asking him questions. And the question was brought up to this pastor. Someone in the group said, in a church your size, how do you disciple? Like, how do you actually disciple people? And the statement that he made, I'm not going to tell you his name because you would probably know exactly who he is. And I'm not saying this to demean or down him in any way. But what he said was a holy discontent moment for me, if that makes sense. It was a catalyst moment. It was something that just sparked just a holy frustration in me. But he said this. He said, I don't think a church can be on both sides of the Great Commission. And in his mind, what he's doing is he's separating the Great Commission. He's saying there's a go and there's a make. There's a go evangelize and there's a make disciples. I completely disagree with, but this is what he was saying. He was saying, I don't think a church can do both well. He said, I think there are evangelistic churches and I think there are discipleship churches. And he said, we're an evangelistic church. We're a go church. We're gonna reach people and hopefully we're gonna get them in a small group and we're gonna get them serving and hopefully they're gonna get discipled. But if they get discipled, it's gonna be more accidental than it's actually gonna be on purpose. He said, our thing is we are a go church. We're not a make disciples church. And just in that moment, I just had this thing well up inside me where I just said, no. Like, that's not gonna be our story because that's not the Great Commission. That's not the finish line of the church. The finish line of the church isn't just come and see. The finish line is go and make disciples. So this kind of started this thing in me where I just said, no, this is what's broken in the church. This is what's wrong in the church is that we have made this different finish line, this shorter finish line. And honestly, I'll kind of show you what the finish line looks like if you wanna see it. In real plain English, this is what it looks like. This is what we call the functional Great Commission. In other words, it's the functional Great Commission because this is how the current church in America functions. Okay, here it is. Go into all the world and make worship attenders, baptizing them in the name of small groups and teaching them to volunteer a few hours a month. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Right? The church in America right now has made this the finish line. Okay? And this falls incredibly short to the actual finish line that we were given. The actual finish line of go and make disciples. Now, don't get me wrong. These are amazing things. These are necessary things, important things, vital things. They're just not the finish line. Okay? These are important things for us to be involved in. They're just not the finish line. Another way to say it is that they're not inaccurate. They're just inadequate to get us to the actual finish line that we've been given, right? There's got to be more to this. There's got to be more to us understanding individually and corporately who we are called to be, the purpose that we are given as Christ followers, as believers, as disciples, to go and make disciples in a unique way. Man, whatever the wiring and the gifting and the purpose and the heartbeat that you have in your life, there's training, there's discipling that you need so that you can go out and live that thing out in the world, because disciples make disciples. That's basically the Great Commission. Disciples make disciples. That's what a disciple does. Some would say you're not even a disciple of Jesus until you disciple someone else. Because that's what a disciple does. It is an identity. It's not a verb. We've made the word disciple, like discipleship, this verb. It's a class, it's a program, it's a thing we do. But disciple is an identity. It is who you are. And who you are, if you're a disciple of Jesus, is a disciple maker. Right? That's the finish line. That's the thing that we as a church are called to go after. Now, I want to show you a picture that I hope will kind of illustrate both the obstacle that's in front of us. Again, I'm speaking about the church, the obstacle in front of us, but also at the same time, hopefully give us a picture of how we begin to move forward. Okay, we often refer to the church as a house. So let me show you this picture of a house. Okay, so just think the church is a house, right? And whenever you, and again, I'm not talking about just us, whenever you said yes to a church at any point in your life, whether us or somebody else, when you said, I'm gonna make that church my home church, there's one of four reasons why you did that, okay? One of four reasons why, and maybe even a combination of these reasons, why you emotionally got connected to a church and why you said, I love that place and I'm gonna be back. That's gonna be my home church. Four reasons. The first one would be this, would be the place. So like, literally the actual location or the building. You know, maybe in some churches, you think traditional churches, beautiful ornate traditional churches would be that emotional connection, or just simply the convenience, right? This is a great location. It's right in the hub of everything. Man, I'm gonna make this my home church because it's easy, it's convenient. Another reason why we connect to a church would be personalities. Okay, this could be me personally, like you're connecting to my teaching style or my dad's teaching style or our worship pastors or our campus pastors or our staff. Like, you're connecting to the personalities that lead the church, okay? A third one would be this, would be programs, right? You showed up and you said, man, I love the way this church does outreach. I love Merry Christmas Gulf Coast. I love the youth program. I love, you know, whatever it is. And that was the thing that you said, man, I love this church because they do that. Okay, the fourth one would be this, would be people. So this would be your friends. Like, this is where your friend group goes to church. This is where your family goes to church. So you connected here emotionally because your friends or your family go to church here. Almost all of us, at some point when you said yes to City Hope Church, it was because of one of these four reasons, okay? Again, these are great things. All wonderful things that we spend energy and time working toward, because this is what we refer to as the lower room. When you enter a house, you enter on the lower floor. This is how people show up. This is what connects people to this place or to any church. The problem is this, is that when it comes to becoming a disciple-making church, this will not cut it. This will not do it. When Jesus called us to be the church, this wasn't what he had in mind. He did not have in mind, let's create really great buildings and have really great personalities on platform and have really, really great programs. That wasn't what Jesus had in mind. These are vehicles to get us to the finish line of go and make disciples. You follow me? So at some point, as a City Hoper or as a part of a church, you've got to make a journey from this lower room to what we call the upper room. And the upper room is simply our unique calling and vision to become a disciple-making church, right? It's our unique purpose on this planet. It's why God started this thing 25 years ago. It's why God put us in South Alabama. It's why God put us on the Gulf Coast. It's this unique thing about what we're called to do to move the kingdom of God forward. At some point, for us to truly connect to the vision in the heart is this upper room. Our unique vision, our unique calling, our unique purpose as a disciple-making church. For us to move forward, I'm challenging you to move up. I'm challenging you to connect to what God is doing here on a deeper level than just these four things, but to move up and to say, you know what, God's doing something here. And it's unique. There's something new. There's something fresh. And it's specifically about disciple making. It's about calling you to become the disciple that you're called to be. And for over a year now, our kind of lead team, about 12 of us, our leadership team, have been in a process, and we've been really working hard to develop, to clarify, what is this for us moving forward? What is this? Why did God put us on this place? What are the unique giftings and purposes? What are the things that God has wired within us as City Hope Church to ultimately get us to the finish line of the Great Commission? Like, what are those things? Because that's what I'm asking you to get connected to. That's what I want you to get bought in, where you say, that's what I'm here for. I may have come because of one of these other things, but ultimately I'm getting called up because I'm believing in something greater. I'm leaning in on something greater than that. And we've spent so much time on it and energy on it, and I cannot wait to roll all of it out, but I'm not gonna roll it all out today because I've only got about 7 minutes. So it's not all gonna come out today. In the fall, we're gonna spend a whole series. We've got some incredible things that we're gonna be rolling out because a lot of it is preparation, a lot of it is training, a lot of it is getting us ready to actually be able to step into this new season. But if we haven't moved to this upper room, then we're not even gonna take that next step. And as a church, I want you to take that next step. So in the fall, we'll dig into that more and more. But one thing that I do want to give you today is this. I want to give you some ultimate clarity on what it is we are here to do. Okay? Specifically, a mission statement. A mission statement is simply that. It's just, it is clearly kind of in a concise way identifying this is who we are and this is what we do. Okay, in 2015, whenever we changed the name to City Hope Church, myself and a couple pastors sat in a room and we wrote our mission statement. And if I were to kind of give you a pop quiz, I guarantee you only a handful of you would know our current mission statement. Okay, so I'm just gonna tell you what it is just because I don't want, you know, to go through all of that. So here it is. Here's our current mission statement. We lead people to become fully alive in the true hope of Christ. Does that sound familiar? Anybody ever heard that before? Okay. Does anybody see the problem with that? In light of everything that we've been talking about, both the Way of a Disciple series and the last 15 minutes, do you see a problem with that statement? And then don't you know, I wrote this so I can poke holes in it. I wrote it. Don't. Okay, let me just show you. Here's the problem right here. We lead. What this mission statement is saying is that I lead people to become truly alive. It's that our staff leads people to become disciples of Jesus Christ. That's what this statement is saying. Okay, that it's all about me or it's all about our staff and it's all up to us. But that's not the Great Commission. The Great Commission is that every single one of us are called to go and make disciples. Okay, Ephesians 4 says that my job is to equip you to do the actual work of the ministry. Okay, so what this is saying is kind of pulling all of that out and it's putting all the weight on the staff's shoulders. Again, this is a lot of the problem in the American church. Okay, the weight has been distributed all onto the pros versus seeing every single Christ follower is a disciple maker. That's what we're called to be. So this had to change. So do you want to see our new mission statement? Yeah, thank you. The first service weren't near as excited. So thank you. You guys are You're better today. You're better today. Hopefully next week you will be as well. Okay, here's our new mission statement. Walking together as we pursue the way of Jesus. That's our mission statement. That's what we're here to do. So in a nutshell, simply put, this is what we're here to do. We're here to walk together as each and every one of us, hand in hand, arm in arm, pursue the way of Jesus. We're together. It's not one person, it's all of us together. And we're walking. Walking is the pace of Jesus. Walking is peaceful, right? There's passion and there's urgency and there's a whole lost world for us to save, but you never see Jesus running, ever. He's walking. There's a pace to life. There's a pace to discipleship. There's a pace to the growth that Jesus wants to see in each and every one of us. And it's a pursuit. It's not a destination. There's no end in mind. It's just something that we're pursuing. And ultimately, it's the way of Jesus. That's what it is. From his character, his compassion, his love, all the way to what he is doing in the world. The way that he preaches the gospel, right? The way that he heals, the way that he casts out demons, the way that he does everything that he does, we're saying that's what we're after as we walk together, as we do this thing together, discipling one another, discipling those that will come after us. That's what we are all about, is we are about walking together as we pursue the way of Jesus. This is what we're called to do. And this is who we are. Now, can you imagine a church, our church, that is incredibly evangelistic, incredible reaching church, an incredible go and see church, if we're using that language, just open arms, just everyone welcome, everybody come. I mean, we are just this incredibly evangelistic church. Can you imagine if we marry that same intensity with an intensity to become a sending church, where every single person that's reached and every single person that's sitting here today would also be sent out on their own, in their own way, their own unique calling and purpose to do the very thing that we've been called to do? What if we were to move the finish line? What if we were to have the same intensity that we've always had toward reaching? What if we had that same intensity now toward sending? Where you felt empowered, equipped, prepared to be sent into the unique thing God called you to do. What could happen? When Pastor Wayne was here right at two months ago, and he spoke a word over our church, he started the word this way. He said, I hear Isaiah 54, 2 and 3 is a timely verse of preparation for this house. Even that the word preparation there, he said, I hear this scripture, I hear this verse as a verse of preparation. Now, we were 10 or 11 months into this process that we've been walking through, but nothing's been rolled out yet. Nothing's been said. Pastor Wayne didn't know any of this. And then he said, here's this verse of preparation. And then he reads Isaiah 54, 2 and 3. It says, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. Verse 2 in this is all about preparation. Look at verse 2 again. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. It's all about preparation for where God is taking us. It's all about the next season. It's all about the preparation, the training that you need to be able to do the thing that we're calling you to do, right? It means time. It means that God's gonna build some time. We're gonna build some time. That's why I say the fall and even beyond. We're not talking about this quick flash in the pan. This is gonna be this new thing that we do. We roll out next month and then by the end of the year, it's old news. No, this is something that over the next few years, we're gonna be preparing, training and learning. But then look at verse 3. Verse 3 is all about being sent. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. This is all about extending the tent, extending the reach. This is all about little pockets of heaven all over the world. This is about you going into your sphere, into your life, and bringing the good news of Jesus Christ and you being a disciple maker in those spaces. See, we often read this, and we read this whole thing about a tent, and we think that means building, make the buildings bigger. Okay, that's what we immediately hear. Oh, enlarge the tent means let's build some bigger buildings. No, no, no. It's not about building bigger buildings. It's about building bigger people. The tent, the church is people. This building isn't the church. You're the church. You're the church. So after training and preparation and you understanding the calling of God on your life, then what you do is you will spread out to the right and to the left, into the ball fields and the workplaces and to family and all, everywhere that you go, and you will dispossess the enemy. In other words, you will kick the enemy out of territory that he no longer owns. That's what that means. And you will have the authority of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit to do that, to take heaven with you wherever you go. And then you don't just bring them back to the church building to grow them. No, you are equipped to walk alongside someone as we pursue the way of Jesus, as we grow together, as we become who we're called to be. That's what this looks like. And then Pastor Wayne said this as well, and I'll kind of wrap up with this. He says, it's time for this house to personally re-embrace the go ye in your commission as believers. It is every believer's call to show and tell the good news of the kingdom. Cry out to God, and the Holy Spirit will empower you in a fresh way to be his witnesses. And the Lord will help you extend your message of hope beyond where it has been heard before, from neighborhoods to nations. From neighborhoods to nations. That's what God's calling us to. And I love that when Pastor Wayne spoke this 2 months ago, it just confirmed everything that God had been doing behind the scenes. Everything God had been doing in my heart, everything that God had been doing within our leadership team, just everything that God was churning and stirring, Pastor Wayne said it. And it just confirmed and affirmed exactly what God was calling us to do. He's calling us to walk together as we pursue the way of Jesus. It's that simple. It's not difficult. It's not hard. It's not intimidating. It's something every single one of us can do, and we can do it together. We can do it together. You know, if we begin to live this out, I just kind of started dreaming a little bit. And actually, I was kind of challenged to even dream way down the road. And I don't normally do that. I'm a 2 or 3 year guy. I can maybe do 2 or 3 years, but to think long-term is a little bit more difficult for me. But I was challenged to begin thinking 10, 15 years down the road. Like if this is really gonna become who we are, we're not talking 1 year, we're talking forever. Like this is who we are becoming. This is who we are as a church. So I began to dream like 15 years down the road, like what does this mean? What does this do? If we truly embrace this mission, we truly embrace this and begin to live it out, what would it mean for us as a church? One of the things God showed me is that in 15 years, we could bring in $50 million in Kingdom Builders. And I know that's a huge number, even for 15 years. But anybody think that's possible? Anybody think that's possible? Think of the neighborhood to nations ministry that can happen there. Think of you living out your unique calling, empowered, resourced through the local church. Think of what could happen in that. Here's another thing that God laid on my heart 15 years from now, that we could have missionaries sent from our church in two ways. One, internationally. I see that in the next 15 years, we will have 100 missionaries from our church sent internationally in full-time missions. Right, full-time missionaries sent from this house, equipped and trained, and y'all are clapping like you don't believe it or you didn't hear me. That's a big deal. 100. I didn't say 10, I said 100. And normally when we talk missionaries, we think international missionaries. But I don't want us to think that way anymore, because it's not, missionaries are not just international. We say that there are everyday missionaries. In other words, when you are living out that calling of God on your life, when you're fully embracing what it is God's called you to do, your purpose and potential lived out, I think there will be thousands of us that are missionaries sent out of this place into the marketplace, into your families, at the ball field, wherever you are, little pockets of heaven sent out into this place as everyday missionary. I just said thousands because because I didn't know what our number to put. Just thousands, thousands. Here's another thing that I see. I see that within 15 years, we'll have a permanent dream center in our community. Number one, to do ministry, to continue reaching our community, but also as a place for you to do the ministry that God's put in your heart. And we already have one mobile dream center. If you've seen the truck today here at Malbus, here's a picture of it. Did everybody see the truck on the way in? It's absolutely incredible. I think we'll have more trucks. We're going to have more ministry, more outreach, more things going on in our community, and eventually our own permanent Dream Center facility in our community. And then the fourth one on this list would be, I see us planting 15 churches over the next 15 years. And when I say that, I'm not just talking about more campuses. I'm specifically talking about planting 15 churches that God has put on my heart that we are going to raise up planters, pastors, leaders that want to go into other cities and other communities and bring this same vision, this same heart, this same DNA to those places. And so what that means for us is over the next few years, we'll create a residency program to train pastors, and then we'll also eventually begin creating a family of churches as we begin planting churches, just to have resource and relationship to be able to help and empower these churches that we're going to plant. This is what I'm seeing for the next 15 years. And I don't know about you, but I get really excited about this. I get really excited about what God's going to do through our church. And then there's one other thing. This is 15 years. And then God laid these two things on my heart for the next 5 years. And when you look at them with natural eyes, you're going to think, I don't even know how this is possible. And so I challenge you to look at it with spiritual eyes, the eyes of faith, because I think God is in this. God has laid this on my heart, confirmed it with our elders, and we just believe this is where we're headed. In the next 5 years, we believe, number one, that we'll be debt-free. Which is extremely important for where we're going and what God's wanting to do, to be able to continue expanding in the way we're talking about, empowering you. This is absolutely huge to be able to plant churches, to be able to build dream centers is such an important thing. But then the second one seems to kind of go against it a little bit. And you may not know this, but the Mobile campus has been in a leased facility for a little over 10 years now. So I believe that within the next 5 years that Mobile will be in a new facility that is our facility, that is our owned asset. So again, I don't have the answers here, and I don't feel like I've got to have the answers here. This is an only God dream that I think is absolutely possible, but it ultimately will help get us where I think God is taking us. For each and every one of us to understand our mission, our calling, our purpose, that we are walking together as we pursue the way of Jesus. Like, that's it. That's our mission. That's why we're here. That's why we exist. That's what we are doing. And this fall, we're going to roll out a whole lot more. There's going to be a whole lot more understanding, a whole lot more practical, a whole lot more preparation and training and all those kind of things. So don't sweat. Don't get intimidated. Don't get worried. Be excited. God's taking us somewhere incredible. God's aligning us with his great commission. He's aligning us with what you and I are called to do. The finish line, the actual finish line that Jesus gave us. Let's pray. God, I just thank you for today. I thank you for what you've reminded us of, all the incredible things that you've done. And this reaching heart of this church, this evangelistic heart of this church is just amazing. And Lord, I pray in that same intensity that one, that would not go away, would not diminish, but God, that we would marry it and match it with the same intensity towards sending, toward training and preparing each and every one of us to be disciple makers, God. That in every sphere of life, we could begin to reach people for you, but then also to disciple them, to train them, to prepare them, to help them in the way of Jesus. Lord, we just love you and we thank you for everything that you're doing right now, God. May we align with your heart. May we be excited. May we pray for this. May we lean in this season and fully embrace what you're doing in our church. In Jesus' name, amen.